It's 5 o'clock. Time to get in the know with the biggest sports stories of the day. Here is your daily download. Hit it.
That's Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. We're going to give you the daily download thanks to Geico. You got a number of ways that you can save on car insurance. Give them a call at 1-800-947-AUTO. You can go online at geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest to you. Let's get it.
Well, the last person who leaves, please volunteer to play in the Pro Bowl. It's not football this year, Joe. They have a skills competition. There's flag football. But you still need quarterbacks, right? Today, Baltimore Ravens backup Tyler Huntley, who threw for 2 touchdowns in 6 games, was named to the Pro Bowl roster. It wasn't for a lack of trying, of course. Patrick Mahomes was supposed to be the starter. Not available. Josh Allen with an elbow injury, out. Tua Tagovailoa with a concussion, out. Justin Herbert, shoulder, out. Lamar Jackson, knee, out. Joe Burrow, out. That has left them with Huntley, 2 touchdowns and 3 picks on the season. Derek Carr, who was basically cut with 2 games left by the Raiders. And Trevor Lawrence, wunderkind of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
If we understand that the Pro Bowl is no longer the Pro Bowl as we know it. It's the games. There's a skill competition. There's a flag football.
The Manning brothers are involved. Yes.
Then we probably have to go about how we vote in Pro Bowlers differently, too.
Sure, but Tyler Huntley.
I know.
I guess it's better than Zach Wilson. Or Russell Wilson.
Oh,
it was better than either of the
Wilsons.
That'd
be good. But, yeah, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to do there. I'll be curious to see how the ratings are, or if the NFL is just finally giving it up and they hope for social media engagement.
They basically have,
Like, how? I think we all have to understand how you measure engagement with your sports product has changed, right? The NBA is really big on this. You know, people will point to television ratings about the NBA saying, well, clearly it's not as popular as you think it is. Well, it depends. TV ratings aren't the only way you can gauge interest, and they'll point out that the NBA is the most active community on Reddit, that the NBA is usually the thing that dominates social media discussions, and you see these daily talking head shows on ESPN that revolve around that. So there's a lot of content factories for the NBA, and the NBA leans in on that to point to interest. So maybe the NFL has to look at it differently. We can't win on television for everything, so maybe we can win some social media love with these games. Something to keep an eye on. Next up.
One of the four, all of the four, or half of the four.
Joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline, covers the NHL for Bleacher Report, Open Ice, Too Many Men Pod. It's Sarah Sivian, our old friend. Sarah, how are you?
Oh, the oldest friends and the best of friends. I'm fabulous. Just touched down in Miami for the All-Star game. How are you?
I'm good, although the weather up here is not quite Miami
we'll do that
weather
after.
Right now. Although I feel like this past Sunday, the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes were the friends we made along the way. They clearly have not forgotten their prior playoff appearances. It got spicy again on Sunday.
I know. From the jump, it was so loud in PNC Arena, and the Bruins are, I would say, slumping. 3 losses in a row, first time all season. So, good for the Kings.
I'm surprised that the Bruins didn't get in on the Bo Horvat speculation. You know, I mean, if you lose 3 in a row, you got to upgrade, right?
Yeah, season's over, but they've been in on a few things, actually. I'm just like, the Bo Horvat situation was a shock to me, and I feel like no insiders even had that.
So let's actually talk about that, because with Max Pacioretty going out with another injury, and he's effectively done for the season, best we can tell, it's brutal. I mean, the whole situation is brutal. It put the Carolina Hurricanes in a position where you got your midseason acquisition in Max Pacioretty. You don't have to worry about the trade deadline, too. Well, we might need to add a guy. So, you know, Bo Horvat was one of the first things that came up because of the Jim Rutherford situation. Maybe he's a sleeper agent. Maybe they can take advantage of that. Obviously, that did not pan out. So, do you see the Carolina Hurricanes as somebody moving here relatively soon?
It couldn't hurt to add a winger, but I always say that. But I feel like they just tended to stand pat more than make any huge moves. I don't know. With Pacioretty, I'm really like, they got to do something, right? What do you think?
I think they have to go out and get a guy. But the problem is, and you remember this from covering the team, There's a certain pattern in which Tom Dundon goes about what kind of contracts he wants to bring on, right? So where I'm okay with a rental, it seems that Dundon and Rod Brindamore are not cool with a rental. How do you see it?
I think at some point you got to be okay with a rental, especially maybe that was what the holdup was in the Bo Horvat situation, just speculation there. But obviously they weren't going to re-sign him if they got him and it would have been a rental. So I don't know. Sometimes you got to look at your team, and this team is really good and has the chance to contend and be like, okay, let me just put all my chips in one basket, eggs in one basket, chips on the table for one season. But I get it. I get why they haven't, because who can argue with these results?
Sarah Sivian, Bleacher Report, Open Ice, Too Many Men Pod, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. Canes are back in action tonight before the All-Star break. You're down in Miami for the All-Star game, and then we got the Stadium Series, which we'll get to in a second. All right, last thing about the Carolina Hurricanes, and like you said, the results are the results, but the results are regular season results. I understand that winning in the postseason is difficult, but you can kind of see the teams that go further have a little bit of a different edge, or their best players end up stepping up and being their best players. I get that was the offseason move to bring on a Brent Burns or a Max Pacioretty, but without Pacioretty, you're left there with this situation. So how do you view the Canes over the last couple of years, and you know the roadblocks they ran into the postseason, and did they really truly address those in the offseason based on what you're seeing so far?
It's always going to come back to the Kotkaniemi signing and the cost of that, right? Which kind of stinks for Kotkaniemi because he's not doing anything wrong. It's just not living up to the price and the term. But I kept thinking they got to get Stastny going, and he's been pretty good his past few games. So I'd like to see more of him. But if you want to err on the side of caution, I feel like one more lethal scorer would be great.
Marty Nate is going to crash the All-Star party finally to make a point or what?
I wish. I've interviewed him for days. He's my favorite. I'm riding on that Marty train. I feel like he's finally breaking out. What is it? Like, how many goals does he have in this last six? It might be five. He scored with that 11 seconds left. Mm. He is a thriller. He's so fun to watch, and I'm proud of him because it's been a tough path, you know?
Sarah Sivian. She's with Bleacher Report, Open Ice, and it's Too Many Men Pod. We appreciate it, Siv. Have fun at the All-Star game. We're going to see you at the Stadium Series.
Oh, I wish. I was thinking about it. I was right on the fence, but there's just a lot going on for me that month. But I'm going to try to get Rod on the podcast here. I don't know if he's thrilled about that, but I'm gonna try to make it happen. So,
I was going to say, you're there. You're there. He's coaching. I mean, why wouldn't you want to talk to you? Come on, Siv.
Or I'll make Spets do a magic trick. I did buy a pack of cards, and I'm ready for him.
Sarah, appreciate it. Take it easy. Always love catching up with Sarah Sivian. So, with the Stadium Series game on February 18th, there's a couple daily reminders we're going to give you at this time. Would you like the weather report, Joe, or the current get-in price?
It's a little gloomy tonight, so let's hit me with some weather.
All right. So, yesterday's weather report was 67, a high of 67, and a 62% chance of rain.
62.
Today's forecast, a high of 60 with a 20% chance of rain.
What happens?
It's called forecasting this many days out is a foolish endeavor.
Okay, but we'll
I
do it anyway.
Keep track. I want to keep track. So again, yesterday was a high of 67 with a 62% chance of rain. Today is a high of 60, low of 37 with a 20% chance of rain.
Sounds like North Carolina.
Look, man. It's going to be a spring of deception that day. I'm guaranteeing it. That's my call. It's going to be 70 degrees on the Stadium Series night, which not a terrible idea, by the way. Just no rain. As far as the get-in price on StubHub right now for the Stadium Series, one ticket's going to cost you $260. That's Section 9, still Section 9, Row AA. Not a terrible
seat. What's the number now?
260.
Okay.
Section 9.
That's with
Row AA.
Fees or before fees?
That is before fees.
Ah, so 300.
So it's like $300.
Yeah.
Ticketmaster, the NHL is releasing tickets. Corporate holds, those types of things. And if you buy a standard ticket, not a resale ticket, it's going to cost you $325 as of today. Parking went live, by the way. If you have tickets
already, right?
No, that's okay. Fine. You have to have the link. So if you've purchased tickets, you should have gotten a link today, and you should be able to buy your parking. It's $40. I got my parking today. Did you get your parking?
You're a smart man.
Did you get your parking?
No. Nope. I didn't get a link because I didn't officially buy tickets.
Yeah, so. That's a good point. That's a good point. You and I are still counting on those media badges.
Otherwise, I'll be in the parking lot. That's fine. I'll tailgate.
Maybe I'll join you.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be in the parking lot anyway. We're doing a show from out there.
We are. Should be a lot of fun. Yeah. Next up. 1, 2, 3.
The ACC football schedule came out last night. Includes some interesting matchups, Joe Ovius, including Notre Dame coming to Raleigh. Hopefully there will not be a hurricane on September 9th. NC State's got a pair of Friday night games, Joe, including the first one that they will play at home on a Friday night. That is not the day after Thanksgiving. That made me think of our old friend Steve Logan today. North Carolina's schedule as...
I hit up Steve Logan today. Say, hey, thought of you when I saw those Friday night games for NC State. And I'm not going to repeat what he texted me back.
You cannot.
No.
North Carolina's schedule is kind of top-heavy in that 6 of the first 7 games are either at home or in the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And then those last 3 games in particular, they've got Duke in Chapel Hill. Then they go to Clemp, and then they finish the season with NC State.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that transfer quarterback Brennan Armstrong gets to go to Virginia.
He does. A lot of rematches. We get Sam Hartman, you know, with Notre Dame coming back, playing against Wake Forest, and we do get that Brennan Armstrong against Virginia. Oh, we also get the Pitt kid, the BC kid playing Pitt, because he's at Pitt, and they're playing BC.
So here's the thing about Carolina's schedule. Mack Brown, during one of his most recent
press event,
was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Man, I've lost track of time. So yesterday, they're talking about their transfer class and some other things. And
their new cornerback coach.
Their new coordinator.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But he said, hey, be on the lookout for the schedule release tomorrow. It's unfair, and you'll see why. So I'm thinking, oh, man, what did they do? Like, is there somebody in the ACC office with a sense of humor that's going to give Carolina nothing but Atlantic teams as like a final prove it after so many years in the Coastal? I don't know. How bad could it be? What's so unfair about this? So look at the schedule. They open up the year at Bank of America Stadium. Perfect for Drake May. They're taking on South Carolina again. You know, there's a separate conversation about the number of times that South Carolina's ruined the start of a season for a triangle team, but whatever. We've seen it before. They're home against App State, home against Minnesota. They go on the road to Pitt before an open date on September 30th. Then they're home for 3 more weeks, Syracuse, Miami, Virginia, before they go on the road at Georgia Tech. So that is, for the better part of 2 months, you going on the road once, okay? I don't see what the issue is. And then they come back from Georgia Tech, and they take on Campbell. Like, what's the problem, Mac? I'm not seeing it. And then I saw it. Versus Duke, on the road at Clemson, and then you close out the season at NC State. So that is your toughest game at Clemson, sandwiched between 2 rivalry games. Now I see why Mack Brown is annoyed and why he said it was unfair. That is not an ideal way to close out the season. I'm sure Mack Brown probably wanted that Campbell game squeezed in there. But obviously that request was not granted.
That's how they've been setting up their schedule as of late. And they've had that 1AA opponent. Their final non-conference game has been the penultimate week of the season. Look, I could see if Mack was frustrated by a request. It's not a guarantee.
No.
But I do think the league, for the most part, grants a team like NC State, for example, will ask on an annual basis, hey, we don't want to be home during the state fair. And they grant that request. There's a lot of requests like that. But no, you can't request like a week off before you play Clemson or a week off after you play Clemson. There's confines to your request. But I could see him being frustrated if the request was not met.
Sure, but, you know, a couple things. Mack Brown's not the first coach to have a request not granted, and he's not the first coach to complain about said request not being granted. I mean, if you want to kick it old school, let's go back to Chuck Amato, who was understandably mad that he didn't want to go to Wake Forest before they took on Ohio State in Phillip Rivers' senior season, right?
Back in the day of cut blocks.
True. And look, we all understand that Wake Forest is a house of horrors for NC State, but...
No, it started with that
it
game,
It started there. That's the thing. You got to remember the context here. It started there. So Chuck was mad, and he complained about it after the game, and I'm sure Mac will complain about it at the end of the season, depending on how things go. But that gets to my larger point. Mack Brown came back to make North Carolina a serious contender in the ACC. And the one thing that does bother me about the ACC is either you're about that life or you're not about that life. This is something that Jim Phillips, ACC commissioner, in a recent column from Luke Dukakis in the News and Observer, apparently there's been guidance given to ACC schools about not scheduling these home-and-homes against Group of Five opponents. I see where Jim Phillips' larger point comes from. If the ACC is going to up their television deal, if they're going to be taken seriously as a football conference, they can't be scheduling these Group of Five games, especially going on the road, which is a disaster potential that we've seen play out countless times. But here's where I'll disagree with Jim Phillips. I'm okay with those Group of Five games if they're within your state and North Carolina is unique. I want North Carolina and App State to play. I want NC State to go up the mountain, all right? I want State and ECU to play. I want North Carolina and ECU to play because it's good for business. It's good for fans. These are the games that people want to see. Because let's be honest about these football programs. They're not really contending for a college football playoff spot. So give us the stuff that people want. Give us the stuff that actually has sizzle for 98% of college football programs. And that's games within the state. Do the home and homes. That's the only thing I'll push back on with Jim Phillips. But ultimately, it comes back to the axiom you love to preach when it comes to football, right? You about that life?
Then be about it.
Well, being about that life includes having a tough stretch of games that has two rivals and at Clemson. So we know how this is going to play out, right?
It's going to be interesting. You know, they got Drake May. I think they could really start the season based on that schedule and put up a good start. Now, South Carolina's going to have a good team. Last time they played South Carolina was down in the Mayo Bowl and they lost. I mean, they got outclassed in that game. So that's not a walk by any stretch of the imagination. But they have a real chance with that schedule to start the season really well.
Next up.
And I don't even care who number two is.
So we've got new coaching hires. Looks like Sean Payton's going to go to the Denver Broncos. The New Orleans Saints are going to get some draft picks, and they're going to give back a draft pick in 2024, a third rounder for Sean Payton. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Meanwhile, the Houston Texans have hired D'Amico Ryans away from the San Francisco 49ers, which means that the 49ers have an open position for their defensive coordinator spot. According to various reports, Steve Wilks, who didn't get the Panthers' job, the Panthers were asked for permission to talk to Steve Wilks since he's still under contract. We'll see where that goes, which gets us to the top story of the day. The Panthers went with Frank Reich. He was introduced today, and he's got four pillars of success. Next.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700.
Oh, Spy Hunter. Now we're talking. Man.
I did play that game. I was terrible at it, too.
Man, I sank so many quarters into that game. Quick story. There's a place called Mr. Grocer in Boca Raton off of...
I could smell the carpeting.
Yeah, it was off of Camino Real and 18th Street. All right.
Smell the cigarette smoke.
Yes, you can. Anyway, I got so addicted to that game, and my parents stopped giving me quarters that I got into my dad's stash of European coins.
Did they work? I found the ones. Nice.
Yeah, the problem was I was there when I wasn't supposed to be there, and my bike got stolen, and I couldn't explain that one away.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like, my bike got stolen. How? Where were you? Well, I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. After I got into your Crown Royal bag of European coins.
What was he more mad at?
I was more mad about the bike.
Bike?
Yeah, because it was a nice bike. It was a Trek. So, oh well. Lesson learned, right? You're a kid. You can do some dumb things. Carolina Panthers introduced Frank Reich as their head coach today. And Frank Reich has four pillars of success.
You know, we got to be like this. We're together every day. We got to, along with Mr. Tepper, come up with the blueprint of what this team is going to look like and who we're going to be. So really excited to work with Scott. Class act. We're going to fit together perfect as I'm getting to know him. His expertise is going to be a great asset to me and to our team. And so looking forward to that partnership. And of course, with Dan Morgan, his assistant, I go back a little bit with him and Samir and then even working with Nicole on the business side and Christy Coleman on the business side, for us, that's a very important part of it as well. So it's about ownership. It's about the players. That's the second pillar. The first is the ownership. You got to have the right ownership to get championships. You got to have the right players. I'm really excited about the roster that we have and the roster that we're going to continue to build. This is what it's all about for me. It's about the relationship and the connection with the players. We give trust to each other right away, but then we continue to gain trust in each other as we work through and go through this journey together. And then it's about the coaches. You know, one of the things that Mr. Tepper made clear is we're going to get the best of the best. He's willing to help support that effort, you know, to get so that we get the best, not only the best, but the best for our team. So we have the right mix of coaches. And we will have a great coaching staff. And then lastly, that fourth pillar, it's about the fans. I mean, we're at that time of year. There's nothing like seeing a football stadium rocking. When a team is having success and when we're given the community reasons to be excited about, it'll be a special time to be in that stadium and to be walking around the city wearing the Panthers logo.
Are you inspired by the four pillars, Joe?
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait. Nah, today doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
You know, Frank Reich, 61 years old, still calling him Mr. Tepper. That's odd. That kind of jumps out at me. There's pillars, and there's a little bit of like big high school cross country coach energy to some of that today.
Do you find it strange that David Tepper, who's 64 years old, is being referred to as Mr. Tepper by a 61 year old?
Yeah. If they had hired Erin Mattson and she said Mr. Tepper at 23, I'd be like, all right, cool.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I get it. She's being respectful.
Yeah, like I was like, we're peers. You want to call?
She says Mr. Cunningham. Yes, I got it. No, I'm getting sidetracked there. Listen, today's not going to matter when the season opens. What matters is who's going to call the plays and who's going to be the quarterback. And I do agree with Frank Reich. I do think there are some good pieces here on defense. He talked about how the defense is the special sauce that kind of makes it go. And I do think they have some good parts. I think they have good parts on offense too, Joe. I think DJ Moore was somebody who was criminally underused this year. I think Deontay Foreman was someone that Steve Wilks correctly identified after the trade of Christian McCaffrey and said, this guy's an NFL back. Mm-hmm. He's a good player. We could ride him a little bit, and I thought they did a great job with that. You know, they made a great pick in Ike Ekwonu last year. You got that going for you. Well, Fitterer's got to hit another homer here, though, with the ninth pick.
That's the thing.
And they got to make the best of the chances that they have. I do think they'll have more choices at quarterback in free agency and in trades. I think there's more options this year than, you know, the damaged goods of Baker Mayfield challenged mentally issues with Sam Darnold, you know, mm-hmm. that he had just kind of getting out of his own way in New York. So, you know, there's a way here to get out and get back into the playoffs, but it is going to require fixing the quarterback position.
I'm in agreement with you, David, with Frank Reich and David Tepper, and they can say all the right things. And somebody clearly got to David Tepper about, hey, let's go about this press conference a little bit differently, especially considering that Steve Wilks is going to be a point of conversation, right? But going forward for the Carolina Panthers, it didn't matter who they named head coach today. It did not matter who they introduced today, honestly, if they're not going to get the quarterback position right. If they get the quarterback position right and they still can't get something out of it, well, then you go back to coaching. But first things first, you got to get the QB. And Frank Wright said something that we'll hear on the other side that made me kind of go, Frank, it's 2023, man. We'll discuss next. And he talked about needing to get the QB situation right. But what kind of QB is Frank Reich looking for? He said something today that got my spidey senses tingling because apparently he doesn't want the quarterback to be too mobile now.
At some level, even those guys, And Mr. Tepper and Scott and I talked about this. You got to have a guy that can win from the pocket. We're not going to drop back. If we have one of those guys, we won't drop back 50 times. But you got to drop back 10 times. It's third and 10, and the game is on the line. You got to be. You probably are playing from the pocket, so we can develop that as well. You want to be able to understand who you're drafting or understand who you're acquiring. Continue to develop them as a player. We can all get better. I can be better as a coach. They can become better as a player, whether we're signing a guy or drafting a guy. But ultimately, that's the challenge, and that's the excitement of it.
That's Frank Reich, head coach, Carolina Panthers, introduced today. My only quibble is we can look at this most recent playoff run. We can look at the prior playoff runs. We can look at who the top quarterbacks are in the league. Athleticism. Like, the door is broken open. We kind of accept that this is what it is. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow is on the same level. Josh Allen, you and I have talked about this, Joe, he might have some turnover issues, but the big reason for the Bills' success is because they had designed things to take advantage of Josh Allen's athleticism. On the flip side, right, we've been talking about AFC quarterbacks. You look at Jalen Hurts and how they've been successful this year. Lamar Jackson's going to secure some bank this offseason one way or the other because of his athleticism. So this idea that, well, you know, you get the pocket. I mean, that's a given right now. It's how are you going to utilize their athleticism? That's been the key to the success offensively.
Yeah, I mean, the most difficult thing for a defense to contain is a mobile quarterback.
Yes.
Because he mentions third and 10. Well, how many times have we seen Russell Wilson in this area
mm-hmm.
on third and 10? Pick up a first down. Drake May last year, when the heels were running hot, he had the ability to scramble and extend drives. You know, it's just a talent that you can't teach. And it's one really that you can't defend, because in the NFL, you really can't afford a spy. You know, a linebacker needs to be in coverage, or they need to be coming after the quarterback. You just can't really afford to leave somebody out there and be a spy.
Check us out on YouTube. Look up 99.9 The Fan on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button.
Sounds like South Tower.
It's some pure moots to this, yeah. Definitely some pure moots. It was the boss music that went hard. Super hard. Anyway.
So you played as Axl?
Axl, yes, thank you. I played as Axl. That was my guy. Because you double tapped in the direction you wanted to, and the punchy would do this, like, essentially like the Street Fighter, not the Hadouken, but anyway, that was the Hadouken, was the fireball. Mm. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. Let's get back to ACC hoops tonight. Wake Forest is at Cameron Indoor Stadium in just about over an hour. Wake Forest got the best of Duke in Winston-Salem. We'll see if Duke holds serve at home, but that's kind of been the story of Duke's season. They've been better at home than they have been on the road. They are coming off doubling up on Georgia Tech. I think that says more about Georgia Tech than it does Duke, because Duke still has the same issues that we know them to have consistently on offense. It's just not there. Kyle Filipowski has certainly turned into their main guy, and they've overcome some injury issues. For instance, Jeremy Roach has slowly come back into the lineup. They're not going to have Derek Whitehead tonight. But I'll say this about Duke, and the one thing that you and I have gone back and forth about this entire college basketball season. There's nobody that's so overwhelming right now that Duke can't muck up a win or two in the NCAA tournament. That Duke plays a hard enough style of defense, and they're big enough that they can pose some problems going forward, even with an inconsistency of scoring.
I mean, I would be stunned if Duke survived the first weekend of the tournament.
Fair enough.
I mean, I think John Shire's done a really good job. This is not the team he thought he was going to have.
Yeah.
With the injuries to Whitehead and Lively. So mm-hmm. I get all of that. But who's the pro on the team? You know, sometimes you get to the tournament and you play who's the pro.
Yeah.
Now, Carolina did that last year with... They might not have had one on that team either.
I was just about to ask you, who's the pro in the Sarah Carolina squad?
So it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, that's experience. That's a group playing together. That's an older player last year, Brady Manick, really coming on down the stretch. So, to your point, there's nobody out there that I'm sitting here going, wow, that team is completely and totally unbeatable,
mm-hmm.
right? You look at Purdue, you said Duke's got size. If Duke's a 9 and they win their first round game and they got to play Purdue, hey, roll it out there and see what happens. I'm with you on that front. You know, I mean, we're talking about what this year? Houston, Purdue, Alabama. Alabama and Carolina played a 5-overtime game, right?
Yep.
Or a 4-overtime game.
Yeah, Alabama and what Nate Oates is doing is usually viewed as, you know, one of the top teams out
there. Talented team, has a good team. But again, to your point, Alabama's 1 or 1A, and, well, Carolina was right there with them.
Wake Forest beat Duke 81-70 back on December 20th. So it's been quite some time.
That was a game there that really wasn't that competitive either.
No.
Because Duke's really kind of struggled until last week. I thought the fight at Virginia Tech was a great sign for John Shire.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can dismiss what they did to Georgia Tech as Georgia Tech's got issues. I'd rather say the way that they just dismantled them does say something about Duke to me, that they were able to play that way on the road. Also getting Roach back, I think, kind of balances out their lineup, too.
It's also important to note in that Wake Forest-Duke game that there was no Derek Lively. There was no Derek Whitehead. Again, no Whitehead tonight. Lively's trying to find that role on this team. He's had his spots. And I think that's probably my biggest takeaway. We're about to hit February. We're about to hit Duke Carolina on Saturday. And I still don't know what half of these teams in the ACC are really about or developing. You know, West Durham likes to make this point to us all the time. Everybody was hand-wringing about UNC before they finally gelled and became the team that we saw go on a run.
Yeah, don't forget, they got blown out of their own gym last year by Duke.
Yep. So I don't know. I don't know if this Duke team is capable of doing that. I'm simply saying that we really haven't seen this Duke team and all of its pieces really together for a good chunk of the year. Will they eventually get that opportunity? I don't know. It kind of depends on Derek Whitehead's health. We might not.
Do I wish I knew?
Also, there's John Shire and how he coaches. Right about now, we kind of know what Coach K would be doing. We know what that lineup would look like. It gets tighter and tighter and tighter, right?
That's what I'm saying. I think John has done a good job doing it his own way this season.
Yeah.
And also kind of tinkering with some different players and different lineups and still trying to – and still
– he tinkers within the game.
And still has the team in position to make the NCAA tournament. That's the grade we should be looking at, not the Duke standard.
Meanwhile, with Wake Forest, we saw in their loss to NC State and DJ Burns getting on them – There's a toughness factor on the inside that I don't know if Wake Forest has. And that's one thing that Duke, I think, consistently has done throughout the year. And Wake Forest needs this, too. They're on a 4-game losing streak right now in league play. I'm sorry, a 3-game losing streak. They want to avoid a 4-game losing streak, having lost, again, 2 good teams in the league. Don't get me wrong. Losing to Virginia, losing to Pittsburgh, losing to NC State. There's nothing necessarily bad about that. But Wake Forest has entered into the realm that some NC State fans are wondering this week. NC State will be back in action tomorrow against Florida State, 9 o'clock, and then they host Georgia Tech on Saturday at 1 o'clock. This is the classic NC State week of, hey, Pack, don't do anything dumb, all right? You've got some good wins. Right now you'd be an NCAA tournament team, but don't do anything stupid. And I do think that would be the case, losing to, you know, roughly 200-level teams, according to KenPom.
But going back to last year, North Carolina lost at home to Pitt, and I tried to tell you up and down that it wasn't going to affect them and their status in the NCAA tournament. I was right. But you have to do other things. You know, I think NC State's in a situation where it would not surprise me at all if they lost to Florida State. Florida State is athletic as all get out, and they're deep. Mm-hmm. You always know that with Leonard Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Tech's a team that's had their number, played them tough down in Atlanta. You know, and then they got Boston College. They go to Syracuse. You know, there's some games out there that they're probably going to lose. In my opinion, what NC State needs to do, they need to get the game back from Clemson here in Raleigh, and they need to get the game back from Carolina here in Raleigh. If they get those two things, I think they'll be fine heading into Greensboro, where don't do the thing where you just go to Greensboro and not show up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, North Carolina is back in action tomorrow against Pitt before they go to Cameron Indoor Stadium.
And that's a run-it-back game. They lost up there. Mm-hmm. I think Hubert's been pretty good in those situations, and I think they will be good on Wednesday.
My curiosity going into the Carolina-Duke game, though, is what's the mindset for the Tar Heels, right? I mean, last year, the mindset of the Tar Heels going to Cameron Indoor Stadium was, hey, man, pressure's all on them. And Hubert worked that to a T and was successful. What's that mindset now? Carolina's the one that had the expectations this year.
But you say the same thing. Hey, we found ourselves last year in this game. We can do it again.
This is where you do it again.